Welcome everyone to our Love Fiercely Positive Asian podcast. The podcast is generously sponsored by Gilead Science Canada Inc. Today, I'm very pleased to have one of our community member, Michael, joining us for this podcast. Welcome, Michael. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Kenneth, how are you too?
Very well, thank you. Let me start asking you the first questions. Can you share with the listener about your background and how is your relationship with HIV?
I was from China and in 2019, and before I went for a registered marriage with my ex-boyfriend in Chile, and then we have some health check before the wedding, and then we found out that I'm HIV positive, and then after that my boyfriend abandoned me. Then I came to Canada to apply for the refugee, and now I'm a refugee in Canada.
Wow, Michael, so you are sort of a newcomers as refugees. All right, yeah. So let's move on to the other questions. Is how is your HIV intersects with your own identities, being as a newcomers or refugees?
I think how to say at the beginning is HIV. To myself, to me, it's like I have a very strong self stigma, and it's being related with the shame and guilty. I noticed this is something, I cannot get rid of it, but at the same time, it always make me to, because of the cultural background I was from, and because of, the people's, discrimination, and also people's attitude toward people with AIDS, with HIV. And it make me always think about, I am kind of dirty person or something. And even especially my ex-boyfriend abandoned me, it makes me feel very guilty about myself. But after I know more about HIV and now, more and more education and more engaged to the community with ACAS, with PWA and other communities, and with different kind of trainings, I noticed more and more could happen to everyone. There's nothing wrong I did. I'm just a human. And also there's no, HIV is not so hideous. And I try to accept myself. As a part of me, and try to, making positive part of, for the thing that I didn't change. So yeah, it actually helped me to now HIV, the positive side, affects my personality. It's making me to open mind to the people different to me. Because whenever if I thinking about, something possibly I don't like or couldn't accept, then I was thinking about the discrimination that I have been through, my ex-boyfriend did to me or other people, did to me because I'm HIV positive. I think for that side, it's really making me persuade me to be a better person, to be more open and more understanding. And on the other hand, it's really making me more connect and to this community. Before, I'm a very isolated person, but now because of HIV, I need to draw myself more clean to the community. So I think it's also one of the positive parts. And more and more tend to accept my HIV and then focus on, the next step, to making my life better. Yes, I'm HIV positive. Yes, I'm gay. But life's still going on, and we can still, do good, and we can still make life better. Life still have hope, and yeah, That's what I think, and that is HIV and me, the relationship like now.
Maiko, it's so nice to hear you making positive change, you know, since you just in Canada for the last couple of years. So I want to ask you if you want to share with the listener, in terms of challenges being living with HIV, do you feel any or experiencing any challenges at times?
Yes. Yes, of course, I'm facing challenge. And I also just want to mention, I just arrived Canada in 2019. So I have been living here for a couple of years. And the challenge is like ongoing challenge almost every day. And for good and for bad side, I mean, it's like both sides. And you know, like the... And even I don't want to admit, but you know, like your health thing is like completely different with before. Before I never have like allergy, I mean, in my life, but HIV something like that make me definitely my immune system is weaker than before. Even I taking treatment, taking medicine every day, and I easy a lot of. And I cannot get hungry. I mean, if I'm getting hungry, then my hands will start to shaking. I mean, like before, it's not possible happen to me. I mean, the first thing is the health issue. And then a second thing is like you're feeling like that kind of isolation and you feel yourself is marginalized. I know, I mean, like with the treatment, I mean, I'm not different with other people, but still, as I am, I still have that kind of a little bit self stigma that make me afraid to stepping to other people, especially those people who considering are healthy people, not like HIV positive people. I feel like, you know, like there's something like I mean blocked me, especially if like looking for a relationship or something. It could be very, very much affect my attitude toward people. I mean, like, to making me cannot move forward to them. And the other part is like the challenge in the life about, you know, like facing the discrimination. I mean, not for my own part, but society part. Same as, you know, like I rent a place last year, and then my landlord, you know, like opened my personal letter because he saw the red ribbon of HIV red ribbon on the envelope, and then he opened my letter and found out I'm HIV positive, and then kicked me out of his home and that time, and then after that, I mean, at near like midnight at 12 a.m. in the midnight, he was using the steam vacuum to clean the place that I stood it in the kitchen because he think I carrying the virus of those things. So, I mean, like even people like me, I'm very open. I mean, to talking about my situation, I don't think, you know, like this anything I did wrong, or I don't think I mean like I have that kind of guilty, but. Feeling, but frankly, I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't carrying those kind of guilty. But when the time I saw my ex landlord, I mean, did that thing, it really hurting me a lot. So that is the point I want to highlight is you know, like the society discrimination is also kind of challenge. I mean, like I. I'm living and possibly I have to keeping on facing in future. Like now, I still Hong Kong is representing me, I mean, for the law case, and they say they will give me the result before Christmas. So hopefully, I mean, like, there will be justified for me because, you know, like, the just. For because it's not right for any other people discriminate other person that with HIV, and also the other part, other challenge is about, you know, like how to say that I feel like, you know, like is housing part is also extremely challenge. It's not like before I can just grab my bike and back and then go everywhere. and don't need to care about, I mean, like anything. Like now I have to thinking about, I mean, like to, I mean, where I can live like stably, more private. I mean, to, so that I can protect my, you know, like personal letters, so that I can take my medicine. I mean, without, you know, like you don't know what other people like seeing or feeling. I mean, when they saw you taking HIV medicine or something, and I think more or less those are the challenges I can think of.
Wow, Michael, you have so many challenges, you know, when it comes to living with HIV, comes to housing, your own health, you know, people find out your status, medication. Well, you're facing a lot of challenges, but I can tell you're a very strong person as well. So my following questions to you is, you know, do you have any success stories to share with the audience or the listener of being living with HIV?
I think, yeah, thank you very much, Kenneth. I think any challenge that didn't defeat you or didn't kill you, and you automatically make you stronger. So I obviously have some successful experience or positive experience of HIV. The first thing I want to mention is like my immigration. It's like, I mean, I don't want to say that because I'm HIV, I mean, positive, but most part of the reason that the Canada give me the protection, Canada government give me the protection, is because I'm gay and HIV positive. So they're considering the fact that I cannot go back to my country. I won't be safe to stay in, you know, like in China or with my family. That's why I get protected. This is the positive part, but it's not because what I was doing, but from my side, I mean, there's also some positive part. I want to give myself credit. It's like, because HIV, and I starting to, you know, like to start to learn more about HIV, and I start to more actively like in volunteering in HIV community, participate in different kind of training, and I even advocate or teaching some of my friends who didn't understand, you know, like HIV, have no idea. I will tell them, I mean, the information, true information, over the illusion about, I mean, HIV, the factors about HIV, and that helped them and not. That is also a success. And another success is like I participate different kind of training, I mean, in those HIV service organizations. And for example, the CHAMP training and ETSN, PLDI training. And then until finally, I mean, I get some job in some ASO organizations. I mean, I have two part-time jobs. One is in ECAS, the other one is in CAP. So I think these are the positive income, really. I mean, like if it's a positive income. I mean, it's like to making your challenge or your difficulty. I mean, like to become knowledge and to overcome them, and then finally, I mean, like it will bring some positive consequence. And also, when you also as I said, I mean, like any challenge that didn't defeat you will automatically make you stronger because you overcome of it, and also it will make you have like more hope in life because you have been through the darkness and you finally grab the little bit beam of light and you are keeping on fighting. Then you will notice like how precious is life and how precious is hope. I think this is a positive or success experience outcome that HIV have brought to me.
Michael, thank you for sharing all these positive experiences. You know, it really demonstrated, as I mentioned, you're a very strong person. So to find out what you like to see the future of the HIV communities. And since ACAS is celebrating our 25 years anniversary, how would you like to see ACAS moving forward? Would you like to share some of your perspective to us?
Okay, of course, yeah. And how would I see? I think HIV community, we really need like not only HIV community, general population, they really need to know. I mean, like more about HIV, need advocating. I mean, people to the fact and choose, and also they need education. I mean, like that HIV positive people are not monsters, that HIV are a manageable disease. And also on the other hand, I mean, like, so that's why, I mean, like people living with HIV shouldn't living with stigma, doesn't matter the stigma from inside or from outside, shouldn't face discrimination. And also the people, I mean, who is not HIV positive should have like a more understanding and not afraid of HIV. For example, if someone is going to finding someone they want to love, and that person is HIV positive, I just want people have like you know, like in future people all of us could have like enough knowledge, I mean, to know. I mean, HIV is not, you know, like it's not like unmanageable monster or something. And HIV positive people are normal people. And on the other hand, I mean, from further perspective, I wish that we will have like not only like one day one peer treatment, even though it's good enough. I hope one day, you know, like they will have a cure. I mean, like for those things, because the you know, like so many people lose their life, so many people have been suffered so much. It really should, I mean, like bring an end to this epidemic. When the time, I mean, I hope like possibly 10 years or 20 years later, when we're talking about the HIV, it will be the, you know, like already past the pandemic. People don't need to living in fear. I mean, it's just like about the, when we're talking about it, just like talking a past memory or past epidemic. And the four ACAS, can you repeat the question of ACAS perspective again?
My question is, since ACAS is celebrating the 25 years anniversary, being as a community member as ACAS, how would you like to see ACAS moving forward?
I won't say, I mean, like, want to say ACAS have like more clients, because that means like more people getting HIV positive. But I really want ACAS, you know, like to stepping forward like a family reunion, always like those members, I mean, inside ACAS, always supporting each other and helping each other. And also I really just want to see ACAS like a family, and then keeping on going like this.
Hearing from Michael's stories, despite all the challenges he's facing living with HIV, he also find a positive side. Being living with HIV, he took a lot of training, and then now he's get employed with an AIDS service organization. This is all a good thing. But one thing that really stuck out to me from Michael's conversation is he mentioned if the HIV virus is not defeated him, he can be a stronger person. It really demonstrates Michael have a lot of tenacity and is a trailblazer. On this note, I wish Michael his dream and his hope is to find cure of HIV. Hopefully he will find his hope and dream very soon. Thank you for listening. If you want to listen to our Love Fiercely Positive Asian podcast, you can go into our ACAS website, acas.org or acas.org. Thank you.